You're listening to the Archaeology Podcast Network.
You are now entering the Pseudo-Archaeology Podcast, a show that uncovers what's fact, what's fake, and what's fun in the crazy world of pseudo-archaeology. Hello and welcome to the Pseudo-Archaeology Podcast, episode 173. I am your host, Dr. Andrew Kinkella, and tonight, the Quest for Ancient Civilizations Conference. Some tips and tricks for making it better. All right, party people, welcome back to the Pseudo-Archaeology Podcast. I am always happy to be here, and I actually really am always happy to be here. This is fun for me to do, you guys. But anyway, I thought for this week, I noticed there was a new Quest for Ancient Civilizations meeting that's happening from December 5th through 7th in Scottsdale, Arizona. It's one of those pseudo-archaeology get-togethers. So I gotta give them some notes, man. And this time, I thought, I've done a little bit of this in the past, but I thought I would angle on this more. I thought this is my olive branch in a way to that world. I know you're like, wait, Kinkella, have you sold out? Are you going to present at the Quest for Ancient Civilizations meeting? No, at least I don't think so. But what I'm going to do is give some notes on how to make a meeting like this better. Because if you guys remember, I should say longtime listeners of the podcast, Flint Dibble and I did a critique of the last one of these. It wasn't Quest for Ancient Civilizations. I can't remember what the meeting was called. You know what? I'm going to, through the miracle of modern technology, I'm going to pause. I'm going to look up my own show and then I'm going to be right back. This is going to be very amazing. Hold tight. Aha, through the miracle of modern technology, I'm immediately back, except I wasn't. That was obviously the Cosmic Summit 2025, and that was back over the summer. I did it, it looks to be here, in episode 165. So here we are, merely up to 173, and they're having another of these. So it looks like the Cosmic Summit happens in the summer, and then the Quest for Ancient Civilizations happens in the winter. So I got to give it to them. That's actually smart that those are 6 months, you know, separate. So what they're trying to do is get, I think, you know, the maximum amount of people to go. Because in real archaeology, we have like the Society for American Archaeology meetings, and we'll have like the American Anthropological Association meetings. And they're several months apart too. Like the AAAs are usually in, I think, November, give or take. And the SAAs are in like April. So good for you, pseudoscience world, that your first step of staggering the meetings, that's smart. So people might like, it gives them enough breathing room to think like, oh, maybe I want to hear these people talk again. So in terms of the Quest for Ancient Civilization, so it's just more of the same. It's the same cast of characters blabbing the same old silliness, right? So it's just, it's, I would argue, very much not worth your time. But if we're like, let's say this is our job and we're like, we have to make the Quest for Ancient Civilizations worth going to. How do we do this? All right. I thought we could start by looking at their list, their itinerary. So I've looked this up. First, though, I got to say, you guys, I had forgotten what the title of this meeting was. I forgot that it was called the Quest for Ancient Civilizations. So I looked up online. I knew it was December 5th through 7th, right, of 2025. So I knew it was in Scottsdale. So I just Googled Scottsdale, December 5th through 7th, 2025. And what I got, I have to tell you that I'm sorry, but the Quest for Ancient Civilizations didn't get top billing. What got top billing was the 20th annual practical course in dermoscopy and update on malignant melanoma. So the big conference in Scottsdale that weekend is on like melanomas. So, you know, Dear Quest for Ancient Civilizations, you might be hanging out with a lot of doctors specializing in melanomas. It actually was third on the list of events in Scottsdale. First is the malignant melanomas. Second is something called the Dirt Expo, which has nothing to do with archaeology or anything, but, you know. And then third is Quest for Ancient Civilizations. And I guess they have a subtitle. It says Unveiled Secrets, the Future of Our Past. Okay. So that's sort of, I will say, right, in terms of the title, it's bad that I forget it. And I'm not saying that like to be a jerk. The title Quest for Ancient Civilizations is so like cliche and vague that you're not going to remember it. Like, you're going to remember some malignant melanomas, my friend. But it's vague, dude. I would change the title first and foremost, like to give it something a bit more specific, maybe use different specific terms in there just to make it stand out because it's very forgettable. So second, I thought I would look it up online, which I did. So I'm like, oh yeah, Quest for Ancient Civilizations. I looked it up and what I immediately noticed was the cost. So if we're going to go to this, they have a cost. And let's be honest, like all group meetings like this do have a cost. I'm not expecting it to be free. I will say that stuff like the Society for American Archaeology has a cost to go, I think. And I think the admissions fee for the Society for American Archaeology for the entire several days, most of these are several days, like this one, this Ancient Civilizations one is December 5th through 7th, right? The SAA is the Society for American Archaeology is about the same, maybe one day more, but it's usually like a Friday, Saturday, Sunday or a Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And the prime days are usually Friday and Saturday. That's usually how it goes. And I will say, in terms of going to stuff like this, you know, people usually don't go the whole time. I personally am classic for like, If something is this within driving distance, I'll wake up super early at like 4 a.m. and I'll like drive there and I'll just stay for the conference for a day. And maybe even if I give a paper, I'll give my paper and then stay for the evening, eat dinner and then drive home. So I don't have to pay for like hotel or any of that crap. Sometimes in the past, if I don't have any paper presenting at all, I'll sneak in. Although now as a college professor and stuff, I usually pay the piper, but I always tell my students to sneak in because I'm just like, just sneak in and go watch some talks. Don't burn money on this. But I will say, I think the cost of the SAA is like, it's around $200 for a professor type, for a member to pay to go to the meetings. It's something like that. For students, it's much cheaper, which is a good thing, right? Students get a big discount, which is good. I'm glad they do that. If we're going to go see Quest for Ancient Civilizations, it looks like they are doing that buy tickets early and then they're increasing prices over time. I will say that the SAAs does that kind of stuff too. General admission. All right. If I buy my general admission cheapest ticket, it's $250. But then if I want better seating, it goes up to $325. And if I want some sort of, let's see, best seats. Oh, and I think they add your stay at the Hilton or something like that. I'm not sure, but then it goes up to $1,200 or $1,700. Now that's a lot of money. If it includes stay, it includes like a meet and greet dinner and stuff. That's not the worst thing ever, but you're sort of trapped into going the whole time. Yeah, that $1,900 thing, two tickets for front row seats. I don't know, man. They're going high. Oh, yeah. No, these high prices. So it looks like room rates are actually pretty good, like $200 per night or whatever. That's actually really good. So it looks like the front row seating, extra access stuff, that looks like that's largely a terrible price. It's way too high. You can do way better. So if I'm being honest, if I'm going to the Quest for Ancient Civilizations, I'm going to buy my cheap general admission ticket of $250, and then I'm just going to go for their group rates, which is what all the SAAs does this too, of like $200 per night. Maybe I'm staying like two nights, which would be like $400 plus my ticket of $249. I'm doing $650. So if I'm like cheap and don't go to the whole thing, I'm burning like $650 just in hotel and cost, which is in the real world of this stuff, on the high side, but not insane. So what I notice is they are trying to make some money on this. The cost of the tickets is on the high side. So I would say if I'm trying to get more people to come to this, that you have two ways to go here, right? You're either going to sort of try and tout it as like a really great experience where you're paying for something that's really awesome, you know, or you're selling it as something that's cheap that everyone could come to. Based on watching that previous one, the one from the summer, it looked like their attendance was pretty terrible. So my second or third note to them would be like, I would do cheap tickets. I would do cheap tickets to try and get the maximum amount of people in. I would not do all this like, oh, spend a ton of money and get an extra dinner or whatever, because I think people understand that's usually totally not worth it. So they're trying to bilk you a little too much. I would do cheap. I would go cheap. Next, when you look at the like main website for a lot of this stuff, you'll see the images that they're going for, right? How they're trying to like show the quest for ancient civilizations, like the poster they're doing. The poster looks extremely fringy and like sci-fi and over the top. This is another choice that Quest for Ancient Civilizations has to make. Do you go serious-ish, as if, you know, what you're talking about could be true? Or are you going total BS, sci-fi, frou-frou, new age, you know, thing? And they are going very new age. Like their poster has like a pyramid and like Göbekli Tepe's in there. And there's like the swirly sign that you see in like Sedona. This is very Sedona, Arizona. And then there's like some like sort of calendar-esque thing up in a dark night sky. You know, there might as well be some like thunderbolts and stuff. And then each person that they're having the speakers, they have their photo, and then they're in this like circle that looks very sort of, it's like this new age kind of overall look to it. Very new age. So if I'm looking at this poster and I don't really know what's up, I'm like, I'm gonna go to a new age conference. Like I'm gonna go to some very frou-frou, like touchy-feely, you know, experiential sort of conference. That's what's selling. So if I'm going to this, this is not selling me like it's serious. You know, it's not. And that is okay. It's a choice. But I think it kind of messes them up before they start, because it's getting me ready for something kind of silly and fun. But then when I go there, it's going to be a bunch of like, take me serious, this is true kind of stuff. And so you're not setting this up correctly. When we come back, let's look at the actual talks. Hello, and welcome back to the Pseudo-Archaeology Podcast, episode 173, I think. Phew! And I'm still your host, Dr. Andrew Kinkella, and we have been discussing the quest for ancient civilizations. And again, bad move. I had to look at my notes to remember that it was called Quest for Ancient Civilizations, because there's no spark. There's nothing specific about that, right? It can get lost in the shuffle because it doesn't hit. There's not much punch. All right. In the previous segment, we were talking about just what the poster looks like. What are the days? How much does it cost? Now and the vibe like the poster kind of gives, it's sort of this very new agey kind of overall feel to it. Let's look at what they're actually going to talk about. And just from the title, I'm going to try and guess like why they're doing this, what the deal is, you know, what they're actually going to say. Now, I have to say this. When Flint and I were looking at that, the last conference that we did over the, you know, that we talked about over the summer, the Cosmic Summit. When we were looking at the Cosmic Summit, we really did a deep dive, and I watched a bunch of their like YouTube videos of live, like where they were like live streaming or their talks and stuff. And I was very not impressed. I'm not here to say that every speaker there was terrible or something. I mean, the stuff they talked about was obviously totally silly, you know, silly pseudoscience crap. But We are specifically looking at the presentation. A lot of them like weren't dressed that great. They just sort of talked off the top of their head. They didn't know how to hold the space. You know, they didn't know how to hold a stage. They just sort of sat there. I found it very boring, a lot of the stuff. And many of them were underprepared. Not all, right? Some of them did a fine job of at least dressing decently. Again, I'm not here to say that you need to wear a tuxedo, but just come like you're going to hold a stage. You know what you're going to talk about. You're a professional and you're going to give me your talk, right? So I would just note to all of them, like, take that note, man. So let's see. Yes, it's a Friday, Saturday, Sunday. On Friday, we got our first one, which is titled Lost Consciousness, Psychedelics in the Ancient World. Now, here's the thing with this. It is, of course, true that ancient peoples used drugs from time to time, whatever. Some cultures didn't. Sometimes it was in between. You know, they did. But what I find in the pseudo-archaeology world is they go way too far with this stuff. And it comes back towards, which I'll talk about later, the types of people who really get into this. A lot of times they have a drug, like a psychedelic specifically, side to them. Because they sort of, very new agey, right? They're sort of quote unquote awakened, you know, by an experience, or they sort of get into it that way. So this is going to be, I've seen talks like this where, like, I'm guessing that this person is going to talk about psychedelics. They're going to go way over the top. They're going to make conclusions that are not supported at all. Like maybe, you know, they'll look at rock art and be like, this is obviously the shaman talking to the supernatural world. Is like, no, it's not obvious at all. They'll use terms like that. It's obvious, or anyone can see that it's this. No, it's not. You have no idea. You're talking about drugs, and you may or may not be on drugs while you're talking about it. We've seen it all, man. I've seen this too. Even if somebody's totally clean while talking about that, they'll tend to go way too far, and there'll be no scientific data or information that even supports what they're saying. It's just a touchy-feely waste of time, basically. The second one, David Childress, is going to present The Calm and the 1909 Grand Canyon Kincaid Expedition. Oh, friends. Every so often, when I'm looking through this, I find something to talk about on another podcast. I looked this up. I was pretty sure I knew what this was. This is a long debunked idea that in 1909, there was an expedition to the Grand Canyon where they found like Egyptian relics in a cave, right? It's totally cliche. It's totally made up, but it's fun as hell. So like, I'm going to do this one in time. I'm going to do an episode devoted to it, but it's obviously a fake story that they made up in 1909. Even in 1909, they were like, oh yeah, this is total bullshit. You know, it's one of those. But you always have these fools who bring up this old crap, talk about a waste of time. Now, if this guy's smart, and I don't know, let's say I'm wrong. I'm happy to be wrong. If this is a presentation on the history of the hoax, which is what I'm going to do, then it's fascinating. How did the hoax start? Who was the mastermind behind the hoax, right? Why did they do it? Were they doing it to get more people to visit the Grand Canyon? Did they do it in order to sell more newspapers? A lot of times, these are the real reasoning. You know, why did they tell this story about finding Egyptian relics in the Grand Canyon? Not, oh, let's find out more about the quote-unquote cover-up. Whenever you hear the term cover-up, you almost for sure know it's BS. So that's one where I, again, you know, hope springs eternal, and it would be cool to talk about the actual nuts and bolts of it, the anatomy of the fraud. That's what's so cool. But not make up some like, oh, they secretly found this and somehow the Smithsonian covered it up and it's in the back room. It's not. You have to also think about the anatomy of lying, which comes up, or the anatomy of keeping a secret. Where do you think it is possible that the number of people who would have seen that, if there was real Egyptian artifacts there, all of them kept their secret pact together? I mean, ask people who work in positions in places I like to call the FBI or the CIA, right? they know and can teach us that nobody keeps a secret for that amount of time with that many people, you know, this massive cover up, whatever. It's just not, it did not happen. So another waste of time. They have a couple special guest speaker moments here. That's already their Friday setup. They start Friday evening, which is like normal. There's nothing abnormal about that. They'll start with like a, you know, sometimes with a dinner or something. And then those first two that I talked about, the psychedelics one and the Grand Canyon one, will be like often kind of keynote speakers or sort of heavy hitters to get people ready. And so the next day on Saturday, that's going to be their full day. It's, again, it starts with a special guest speaker who they don't know who it is. I'm not going to make fun of them for that. That happens all the time when you're putting together a showcase like this, where you don't quite know who. Then we have, let's see, Quest for Ancient Stones and Skies. That could be anything. I'm guessing it's just someone who found something somewhere and is like, this means something. And it probably doesn't mean anything. They've listed just the names of some people. Just like Michael Collins. Some of these guys are the organizers. It doesn't really tell you. It says Dan Richards. Oh my God. He's the Graham Hancock sycophant. Is doing Elongated Skulls of the Americas. Here's a true waste of time moment. So this is someone who is not an archaeologist, who doesn't know about this stuff, who's just sort of a tourist into the archaeology world. And he's going to talk about elongated skulls. Now, this is something, you guys, I am a Mayanist. I know elongated skulls. I have seen them in person, real ones, not the fake ones he's going to talk about. Like, this gets into the crystal skull and stuff. All the crystal skulls are fake. The most famous crystal skull ever was found in Belize. I did a whole podcast on it. I know that world, right? So I could pick apart Dan Richards in 2 seconds, right? Because he's just going to operate on the ignorant pseudo-archaeology, you know, crap. He did a presentation on that last one, the one over the summer, and his presentation was terrible. He looked like crap. He was just sort of talking off the top of his head. He had his hands in his pockets. It was like, learn how to present, man. His presentation sucked. So like, this is just going to be him going, hey, elongated skulls, nobody believes me. I've been so downtrodden. Oh, the academic world, they're all a bunch of losers. How dare they not listen to me? And it's like, yeah, we don't listen to you because you're ignorant. You don't use real sources whatsoever. I know what you're going to say before you say it. I'm not going to waste time really arguing against you because it's like, I have real knowledge. You don't. Like, proof's in the pudding, man. That's going to be, I would skip that presentation if I was you going to that conference. That's going to be like meandering. If it's a great presentation, I would be happy to be wrong. The info, though, is going to be horrible. Then you have Jimmy Corsetti, Mysteries of Lost Ancient Civilizations. That's just a smorgasbord approach, you know, shotgun approach for him to just talk about all his bullshit. That's going to be a litany of like, Göbekli Tepe, they need to excavate it all. He's another person who's just ignorant in all forms of how real archaeology is done. He makes these like grandstanding statements about real archaeologists should do this and do that. He has no idea about the reasoning. Like, even he is somebody who says, we need to excavate all of Göbekli Tepe now. That's so narcissistic and self-centered, because the reality is, if you excavate all of anywhere, and I've experienced this firsthand in the Maya world, what happens the next day, right? This isn't, archaeology isn't just for Jimmy. It's for all of us, right? And we all want to excavate all of Göbekli Tepe. But if you do that, again, do you have the money to deal with all the artifacts? Do you have the money to hire people to stay there and guard it forever? Because looters are going to come the next evening with shovels. And the site itself is going to start to fall apart because the site is now cushioned in its own dirt and rubble and that kind of stuff. And it's protected in its own dirt. As soon as you take the dirt away, everything starts to deteriorate. It deteriorates really fast. One of the best ways to destroy Göbekli Tepe is to excavate it 100%. And it's a bummer, we want to do that, those kinds of things, but it's, that's the reality. So I wouldn't be so foolish as just to go like, oh yeah, we need to just excavate it all. It's, it, you can't, you're just saying we need to destroy this for me. You know, it's, again, it's very self-centered and narcissistic and ignorant. But anyway, if you want to hear that crap, go listen to him. And that's really it for the first day. They have like a dinner, very typical. And then finally, Sunday, they have, let's see, we have Enigmatic Americas, Legends, Oddities, and Controversial History. This is where that person's going to say the real history based on facts is wrong and my crazy ideas are right. We have another one, Golden Gate of the Ecliptic. That's going to be some sort of, I don't even know, that's going to be some pseudo-astronomy thing, I'm guessing, where it's going to be like, oh, this all aligns to this ecliptic, and they'd actually been there 50,000 years, because that's my guess. I could be wrong. And then finally, let's see, they have one that says, before Karan Tepe and Winter Souls. This is going to be another one where it's going to all be about like alignments. Archaeologists are so narrow-minded. People have actually been there 50,000 years. It deals with the precession of the earth. All this stuff is just bullshit, you guys. That's what this is all. That's how that's going to go down. I'm guessing this stuff just based on the titles. Honestly, this isn't that exciting to me. I don't know, man. Even for my pseudo-archaeology money, I want some more variety. I don't know. Whatever. When we come back, my final thoughts and tips and tricks for the quest for ancient civilizations. All right, welcome back to the Pseudo-Archaeology Podcast, episode 173, and we have been talking about the quest for ancient civilizations meeting that's going to happen in, what is it, in early December in Scottsdale in Arizona. Again, I talked earlier about how Sedona, Arizona-ish it is, meaning very New Agey, right? And what do I mean when I say New Age? It's that sort of, it's really been born of the 60s, although you can go very deep into what New Age really means and what really is, where I think a lot of people who were lost and just feeling that modern society just didn't really talk to them, you know, modern religions didn't really talk to them or speak to them or give them meaning, that they went towards like this, these sort of new religions, new belief systems. A lot of it was sort of a pulled from cliches from the various Native American religions. It's sort of like this, they're often kind of a hodgepodge of Native religions, a hodgepodge of sort of other more fringe religions that have been started over the last kind of 100 years. And they sort of mixy and matchy it, where everything is sort of a portal to other alternate forms of reality. There's often kind of a drug use aspect to it. Not always, you know, but sometimes there's this idea of a kind of consciousness expanding, right? That kind of stuff. Where, and often, unfortunately, it's the whole belief system is very thin. Like these people, they don't do the work needed to truly understand things, or when they do some like work to try and understand stuff, their source material is horrible. So they end up studying nothing. They end up studying like empty crap because it's not based in anything with a foundation to it, you know? So they know a lot. Sometimes they know a lot of stuff about nothing almost. It's kind of sad. It's sort of a bummer, but I thought I'd spend this last bit talking about who's kind of presenting the quest for ancient civilization, who's kind of running this. And what I get from their website, and I could be a bit wrong, but there's one group called Worldview Z, run by Robert Dakota, and Wandering Wolf, run by Michael Collins. And both of these are very cliche in terms of the pseudo-archaeology world, right? I looked a little first at, in no particular order, in Wandering Wolf Productions. The guy who runs this is Michael Collins. His bio, he starts with that he was trapped in an unfulfilling sales career and he left his job to chase a life of purpose and passion. He went to Peru. He went to Sacsayhuaman, which is an archaeological site in Peru. He placed his hands on the stones and felt a surge of wonder that changed everything in his life. Now, we can all have those moments that ignite ourselves to be passionate about something. And so there's nothing wrong about that. I could talk about moments in Belize in Central America where I became passionate about archaeology or something like that. But the wrong turn that these guys make, I've seen this many times, is they're passionate, which is great. It's freaking great. I love it when somebody's passionate about archaeology or the ancient past. But then they take the easy way out. They don't do the hard research. They don't spend the time learning real archaeology because that's time. That takes time. It's hard. You got to read books. You got to learn things. Like even today, you guys, in my day to day life, I just ordered some books on Maya pottery, like hardcore, boring, like potsherd by potsherd Maya pottery. I am excited about Maya pottery, but not, there is a point, you know what I mean, where it does get a bit dull. But my job is to learn what pre-classic pottery looks like versus classic pottery and so on. And that takes hours and hours in the lab where I have to look at broken potsherds and then look at these books. These books have a ton of photos and mainly drawings of the pottery, so I can learn how to look at pottery and go, oh, that's from the pre-classic time period, or oh, that's from the late classic time period. So I have to do hard, what I would call hard learning, putting the hours in. Many of you guys have heard of like the 10,000 hours and this kind of thing. These people don't. That's the big difference. They take the easy way out. In this case, it's a new agey easy way out where it's just like, hey, I felt the magic in touching the stones and I just opened my mind, man. It's that kind of thing. And so when you don't know any better, it's really easy to go pseudo-archaeology because pseudo-archaeology is going to give you what you want in the easy way. It's the easy road, right? Not the hard road. Unfortunately, it's just full of it. I don't know how much like Michael Collins knows about actual real archaeology. It feels like not too much. It feels like this is very like I was at this dead end career. Then I found something I was passionate about. And the easiest way to kind of make money, which is we all have to, but the easiest way to make money and be a part of this is to start sort of a production company where they kind of do trips, I think. Which is, I guarantee, are not cheap. And they make sort of, I don't know, they make content of some kind. That's what I'm guessing. On the flip side, there's this other group, Worldview Z. Same kind of thing, right? Where you have the main guy, Robert Dakota. He's, let's see, what does it say? He's a social media videographer, multimedia visual artist, and mosaicist with a vision to connect Mother Earth, people from around the world through sacred journeys, conscious media networking channels, and multimedia visual arts. Yes. So these are new age experiential things, right? The idea is to visit the site, and there's nothing wrong with visiting is good. Visiting archaeology sites is good. But notice how in the past, like when I was talking about Dan Richards, I talk about them as archaeological tourists, because that's what they are. Again, there's nothing wrong being, it's cool. It's cool to visit archaeology sites. It's great to be passionate. I'm sure both of these guys are. But the left turn is they don't really know anything about the deep past, about the hard things. I guarantee none of these guys can look at pottery and go, oh, pre-classic. Oh, no, that's post-classic. Right. It's not. They're talking about sort of vision quest journeys. Right. This idea of opening one's mind, the idea of the very new age Sedona thing. Even on Worldview Z Media, there's choices on their website. One of them is literally Sedona connections. Oh, man. And here they have like vendors that I guess are going to be at, you know, at the meeting, which is fine. All meetings have vendors. The Society for American Archaeology, they got vendors. But so some of their vendors are like the Interior Alchemist. All touchy-feely, right? Yes. Ancient origins. Yes, I know. Those are Sedona connections with the swirly swirl. Again, I did a whole podcast on Sedona, visiting Sedona and all the vortices. So, oh, man, That's what you get. It, the Robert Dakota one, too, has a photo of him, like, with a bunch of indigenous people, where he went, let's see, Peruvian rainforest shamanic journey with the Shipibo tribe. Okay. You know, these New Age groups, when they interact with sort of indigenous tribes, a lot of times the indigenous tribes are just doing it for, like, money. Understandably, wouldn't you? If somebody wanted to visit you and just sort of suck in your aura, you know, wouldn't you just be like, yeah, you can hang out with me for a day if you're paying me $200. This is great. You know, and a lot of times, too, they'll get very New Agey takes on, you know, on sort of indigenous belief systems and that kind of thing. So at the end of the day, what you have with the quest for ancient origins is you have two groups coming together, very New Agey, who don't really know real archaeology, but they appreciate the sites. They appreciate visiting them, and they appreciate slapping their own stories on top of them that have no connection really with reality. So they start this, and they invite a bunch of the same old pseudo-archaeology crowd to give presentations, further pushing the New Age. And we've all heard these themes, you guys. New Age. Why doesn't anyone believe me? Real archaeologists are terrible people because they don't believe me. Why don't they listen to me? Why don't they do what I say? Why don't they give me access to all archaeology sites? It's like, we used to have this quote when I was on the comedy team, right? I did this improv comedy show for a couple years. And because it's improv, you would get suggestions from the audience, and it could be anything. And one of the players once complained that they didn't know what the suggestion was. You know, the audience would say something and the player didn't really know. And the answer from the team owner, he was like, no stuff. It's really that simple. You need to know stuff. There's no way out. You must do the hard work, the 10,000 hours of knowing stuff. And very simply, where Quest for Ancient Civilizations is this organization who's going to give a bunch of presentations on New Age connections to archaeology. They don't know stuff. It's that simple. They're just shystering along, unfortunately. You know, my last sort of note to them, if you're going to have a swirly pyramid Göbekli Tepe poster and you're like touching the outer reaches of our psyche, have fun with it during the presentation. Sell a bunch of like alien bobbleheads and like ray guns, squirt guns, and like just every time go over the top, dude. Wear like sell aluminum hats, like just go for it and be like, we're like kind of crazy, but we're having fun with it. I think that would make it fun. I gave this same note to the other summer presentation because you can't try and pull in an audience with the New Agey stuff and then switch and try and be really serious, because then it just ends up being really boring. And with that, I'll talk to you guys next time. Thanks for listening to the Pseudo Archaeology Podcast. Please like and subscribe wherever you like and subscribe. And if you have questions for me, Dr. Andrew Kinkella, feel free to reach out using the links below or go to my YouTube channel, Kinkella Teaches Archaeology. See you guys next time.
The Archaeology Podcast Network is 10 years old this year. Our executive producer is Ashley Airy. Our social media coordinator is Matilda Siebrecht. And our chief editor is Rachel Roden. The Archaeology Podcast Network was co-founded by Chris Webster and Tristan Boyle in 2014 and is part of Cultural Media and DigTech LLC.
This has been a presentation of the Archaeology Podcast Network. Visit us on the web for show notes and other podcasts at www.archpodnet.com. Contact us at chris@archaeologypodcastnetwork.com.